RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Attaboy G, that's more like it. You know what I mean? Love that. It's that's a good version. Tune right there. It is the Morning Shift. My name is Mike. Welcome back in. It's a Victory Tuesday, the rare occurrence of a Victory Tuesday. She's Allie Mack. Garrett's behind the glass hanging out, playing the good tunes on the way back in. One arm. I won't do it.
It makes me think of college.
I'll spare y'all. Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, definitely does. You know, they banned this from Alabama Stadium for a couple of years because there's a very vulgar word that is inserted. And then they brought it back, but they play on the stadium speakers. They drown it out.
Gotcha.
And it says, beat Auburn very loudly.
Oh, really?
Instead of the alternative that the student section and most of the fans are actually yelling out loud at any given point. So it is what it is. It's the Morning Shift. Like I said, it's a Victory Monday. We're going to get the wake-up call here in 1 second. 404-726-0929. Got one line open. Want to hear who you want to stay as a part of this franchise moving forward. Did Raheem save his job last night? Was Terry cooking when he drafted James Pearson and Xavier Watts in the trade with the Los Angeles Rams? Jeff Ulbrich has to stay no matter what, in my opinion. Would you like to see Kirk Cousins back? Maybe Zach Robinson's done enough, in your opinion, to save his job over the last couple of weeks. Give us a call. Let us know. 404-726-0929. We'll hit the wake-up call here in just a couple of minutes.
Here are the headlines before you clock in. Unfortunately, it's not a Victory Tuesday for the Hawks. They've now lost 7 in a row, this time to the Thunder, 140-129. They'll play again tomorrow night against the Timberwolves. Pregame is at 2:30 here on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 3. The Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is TBD at this point. Andy Reid plans on returning to the Chiefs next season. Ole Miss running back Kawan Lacy is listed as probable to play against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. Look. No, go ahead. I messed that up. Garrett, play the intro. Yep, you're right. Sorry. Here comes the intro. It is time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Like I said, call, weigh in, let us know. Do you want one person back, multiple people back? You want to just clean house, move on. Maybe it's just, you know what, let's clean house and bring Matt Ryan in. Let's see what his vision is. I'll be curious to see what we get here. I do think that overall, I try to put out positive vibes. Mm-hmm. But I do have question marks moving forward about what the best route is. I will say, and I said it just a minute ago, and I'll say it again before we get to some of these callers, Jeff Ulbrich's got to stay. That, to me, is a non-negotiable. You've invested picks. You've invested money into that defense. Jeff Ulbrich has to stay. He has to be a part of whatever you're doing moving forward. I realize that if you hire a new head coach, he's going to want his own DC. I would question his sanity if that DC pick was not Jeff Ulbrich. I don't think that conversation needs to be had right meow. All right, let's try to full phone lines. Let's try to get some of these callers in. Let's go out to our buddy Will. He's out in the Mafia headquarters. Will, what's going on, man? Welcome back. 2 times in 2 days, brother.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't have to work.
Hey, man. I hear you.
I might be one of the few on this bandwagon, but I hate change. And how do you build a culture at the end of the day if you're continuously changing everything? I say run it back with what we have. Keep Kirk Cousins if Kirk Cousins wants to stay. Let Penix sit for the whole year and learn a little bit more. But definitely Ulbrich is that cornerstone that must stay like you were talking about. But I hate change. So let's run it back with what we got. We see what we can do. When everything's running like it's supposed to. Other than that, the Mafia's in the house. Y'all have a blessed day.
Fwam, fwam, fwam. Thanks for the phone call. I think that there's probably more people like Will than you imagine. And that's kind of where I usually fall on things. I hate change, and I understand how big consistency can be for the development of certain players, especially when you look at a Michael Penix. So I'm curious to see if we get a ratio on that, but
it does feel like a hot take what he's saying about playing Kirk Cousins next season.
That to me would be like the least likely of all the people.
But I think a lot of people are starting to. That's what I'm saying. Emotions are muddy at this point.
He's just such an, and I hate to borrow a word from when he was brought here, an elite processor. He's just such an elite processor. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Brad. He's in Villarica. Brad, what's going on, man? Welcome back on the show.
Mike Smothio.
Let's go. My man.
No. Look, I say let's run it back. Let's get Matt Ryan in here. Let's just run it back what we have. Maybe go after an offensive coordinator. We need somebody that's aggressive. You know, we got the defense a little bit aggressive, but I feel like we need an offensive coordinator that's aggressive. And, you know, these are grown men. You know, they're just like everybody else. We're here to do a job. And, you know, just show up, go to work, do your job, and let's bring a championship to the A, baby.
Let's go, man.
Good morning, my smoke you out, baby.
I appreciate the phone call, as always, Brad. And there you go. There's another one. There's two in a row, people saying run it back. And I don't think it's, you know, personally, I don't think it's any craziness that they're both mafia members. Because, you know, we do like a certain level of consistency.
Yeah.
Well, a certain level of forgiveness, if you will. So it just kind of is what it is. But I think there's going to be a lot of people feeling that way. The coordinator thing, the offensive coordinator thing is interesting. I had this conversation with Bo, not on the pregame show, but off the air. Michael Floor has been in Atlanta before. He's actually LA's offensive coordinator right now. I don't think you would leave Matthew Stafford in company to come be an offensive coordinator somewhere else if, you know, Raheem were to be retained here. But I wonder what money could talk, especially when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo as their backup quarterback and is not under contract for next season. Mm-hmm. Just food for thought. You know, you need a bridge quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to go anywhere and get starter money. So maybe you could offer him a small deal to come here, maybe implement some of the things that another coordinator wants to do with Michael Penix moving forward. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. That's why we're going to the phone lines right now to see who does. Let's talk to Drea on I-95. Drea, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Let's go.
Welcome to Atlanta where the defense plays.
Let's go.
Do you hear me? Just real quick, shout out to everybody who stepped up. Next man mentality. Y'all showed out. I don't know what it is about those throwback jerseys. Mm. On Monday night, we show out. Keep them jerseys. Don't even wash them.
Yeah.
Just keep them. Everybody who played and made a play last night, you stay. Asterisk next to Kyle Pitts. I'm sorry, bro, but I need a new tight end. You got to go. You got to go. Sorry. I like the Garoppolo idea. I need some fine swag back at the quarterback position, so I'm down with that. And front office got to go. Matt Ryan, put them sweats on. Go scout for us and bring a championship to the A. Y'all have a blessed day.
I love the vibes.
And a happy new year.
Let's
go Birds.
I love it, man. I love the vibes coming from Dre out there on 995. Put the sweats on, Matt. Go scout us out some winners, baby. Let's go.
I appreciate how positive she sounds while she's saying, Kyle Pitts, you got to go.
Appreciate you, bro, but you got to go. Let's try to get a couple more in. Let's go out to Jason. Jason's in Buckhead. Jason, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
I can almost scream at y'all's place of where I'm at. I'm right down the road at One Buckhead Plaza.
There you go, man. Hey, we'll wave at you.
And by the way, Mike's Mafia, let's do it four in a row. Wah, wah, wah.
It's a perfect game so far. Let's go, man.
Hey, listen to this. But I'm from Squid Billy's hometown. I'm from Dallas, Georgia.
Okay,
so that's kind of like I'm living in a I know, it's kind of rough. So I want to say this. Do people not realize that our draft class this year, our top three defensive players are probably the best three rookies in the league?
Yeah.
Like, and this is almost a repeat of what 2015-16 was with our, you know, Keanu Neal and all those. It's kind of like when we have these type of rookies, we can't waste it. People saying blowing it up. Are y'all out of y'all's minds?
Hmm.
The only thing we need to do is fix a couple of pieces. One, Kyle Pitts is being used wrong. You need to run 12 and 13-man sets because that way you can at least try to guess whether or not he's actually going to try to block or not, because otherwise the defense knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
that's the biggest problem with him. And I think if you can fix that part, yes, get rid of him, because you can go out and get a rookie tied in, because look at what the rookies are doing these days.
Yeah,
so let's go with that. Now, backing up, I will say this. Our starters can play with anybody in this league, but let me repeat that. Our starters can do that. Yeah. Our backups are the problem. When Diablo goes down, no offense, J.D. Bertrand, you're probably a great guy, great person. I'll be honest with you, we don't have no backup from there. It's basically kind of like Alabama. Yeah. When you lose Overton on the defensive line, you can walk right through us. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like it's the depth.
Yeah.
The depth is the problem.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Jason. Tough. That brought the LT Overton thing.
He did?
Yeah. But I think Jason's probably a Bama guy. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. I think he brought up a couple of good points about the depth, too. Ronnie Harrison has kind of slotted into that role. That's been nice. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Ken. Ken is in Evans. Ken, what's going on, man?
Yep. Man, I really think we got to get rid of Raheem. And I understand we don't want to blow everything up. Okay. But if we come back next year, the reason that I think that every win is almost even more of a hit to Raheem, because it shows that this is something that we should have been doing. And if we come back next year, he's just going to get outcoached. We have superior talent. That's the reason that it looks the way it does. But another year of continuing to go through the same thing is insanity. We've seen that we have this squad, Arthur Smith didn't have this kind of squad. Most people, like, watching the telecast after I got back from the game yesterday, the national media was just sad, like, oh, my God, y'all have all this talent here, and it's just being squandered. It was sickening, man. Yeah. It's just sad. And I think Terry has put a great, team out there. And you're talking about depth. Hey, Troy Anderson was supposed to be better. Trice was supposed to be healthy. Both of them supposed to be healthy.
Yeah,
that's the depth that you're looking for.
I appreciate the phone call, Ken. Hey, we got to get him in because he's been tweeting a storm. Let's go ahead and get Mr. Yo. Mr. Yo, you got the floor for about 20 seconds, my friend. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, All-American. I just want to remind Atlanta of all the positives that have happened. We were snake-bitten at the beginning of the year. We got a wide receiver who broke his collarbone on the first play of practice. We lost our starting right tackle, our backup right tackle. We were snake-bitten. And then we lost a lot of games by 1 or 2 points because we decided to keep a kicker that cost us $5 million but couldn't kick anymore. So the team is okay. The depth is the problem. In order to get the depth, we have to free up some money. And so that means that Kirk either needs to renegotiate or we're going to have to let him go, because we have to have that depth in this roster fixed. I'm bringing back Raheem. I'm definitely bringing back Terry. Love the show. You guys are amazing. Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, brother.
Happy New Year, Mr. Yo.
That's 5 of 6 phone calls we got
that
want to run it back.
Yeah.
A little bit shocking.
Not when you've looked at the last few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. I think that you can make the argument, and I love that he brought a couple of things up, but I think you can make the argument, if just simply in the last 5 years you'd had a short yardage run game and a good field goal kicker, this thing could look a lot different.
The what if game is maddening today when you really look at it. We want to continue to hear from you at 929 Morning Shift. And coming up next, we've got the one and only Dave Archer to talk about last night's win next on Sports Radio, 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
8:24 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back on Friday. Garrett is filling in for Dylan behind the glass, and it's a Falcons victory Tuesday. So 2 days in a row, we've got Dave Archer, former Falcons QB, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, on the line.
Analyst.
And our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Dave, Mike says you were featured on the Halo board last night with Wes.
Yeah,
that was nice of the organization to do that. We've been fortunate enough to be a part of the Falcon broadcast for quite a while, and we've seen a lot of stuff and called Mike's touchdown and all the things that he did when he was with the Falcons. But yeah, it's been fun to be a part of the organization, and that was very kind of them to recognize Wes and I having been around for 20-plus years. So that was very kind of the organization. Very nice.
It's very well-deserved as well, and obviously a great win for the Falcons last night. Dave, what do you think has come together for this team over the last 3 weeks?
Well, it's a lot of things. I think that when you kind of come together as a unit, I think that there's a lot of growing that has to happen. There's been a lot of conversation about the coaching and young coordinators like a Zach Robinson and getting a feel for what works, what doesn't. You've had changes in key positions. Certainly the quarterback position makes it sometimes tough to transition because those two guys are different in a lot of ways. I mean, there's certain things that Kirk can do that certainly Michael doesn't do, and there's a lot of things that Michael can do from a arm strength standpoint that Kirk doesn't, so you have to adjust to that. I think some of the injury scenarios, trying to overcome what's gone on at the right tackle position at times, it's been maddening. Wilkinson's done some really good stuff. He's also done some stuff that drives you crazy. He's got 9 false start penalties this year that derail drives and things, but just the growing piece of it. Guys making plays when they've been put up to bat, that has been inconsistent as well. You got a brand new defensive system that I think the guys have taken to, but they've had their moments where they haven't played as well as Brick would like them to play. And then you've had your moments on special teams. So there's just been a lot of things that have kind of ebbed and flowed. But I think that the one thing they've done is they've never gotten down on themselves. I thought they continue to work. I think that's maybe cliched and the fan takes it for granted that they're going to do that. But it's hard to go out there and keep getting after it when things aren't going your way. And they got in that 5-game losing streak, and that can be a gut punch. But they kept fighting. I thought Jesse Bates said it the best last night about how they just have continued to try to win for one another and fight through the adversity.
Arch, I wanted to get your thoughts on not only Jesse, but Xavier Watts back in the secondary. I mean, so much focus this offseason and really throughout this year has been made on the fact that you traded the Rams pick for, you know, traded the Rams next year's 2026 first-round draft pick, and you got back James Pierce. You also got Xavier Watts in the process. And, look, I can break down offensive line skill sets all day, but I can't put my finger on what exactly it is that makes Xavier Watts so good back there in the secondary. The rookie interceptions, he's just been incredible throughout the year, and you see him growing right there next to Jesse Bates.
Yeah, that's the tactical piece of the trade that I think people forget about, Mike, is that they trade and they got a third-round pick that they ultimately ended up in Watts. And I think the thing that you point to, first of all, is his ball skills. I mean, the guy's a former wide receiver. When he went to Notre Dame, as a wide receiver, as you know, and for whatever reason, from injury standpoint, whatever, they moved him over to the defensive side of the football, and he's a 2-time first-team All-American his last 2 years at Notre Dame with 13 interceptions over those 2 seasons. He's got a ball hawk mentality to him. There's one thing to be able to track the ball. It's the other thing to make some of those catches. The ball's not thrown to him. And for him to go get the football the way he does, the two interceptions last night were really, you know, just his ball skills. And then what he's learned, I think he's really spent a lot of time with Jesse Bates. I think he was already obviously a pretty good safety. Jesse talks about his middle of field skills that were veteran-like. He talked about it in the interview last night that we had with Jesse after the game. But he's really learned a lot about things to look for and read. Now, he got beat last night. He got over-anxious and over-aggressive, and they took advantage of it. They ran that over route with Ferguson, started to make it look like it was a deep over route. Then he went back to the corner, and Watts got caught peeking in the backfield, and Ferguson went right by him for an easy touchdown. So still a lot of stuff for the young guy to learn. But I think it just starts with his ball skills. He just understands how to track the football. And then kind of the safety piece of it, he's a pretty good tackler. Obviously, he's got over 80 tackles. Got beat last night on – came up in bump and run and got beat on the slot fade last night too for another big play. So he's still continuing to learn. So we're not even close to seeing what he could potentially be.
Well, Bijan had an incredible night. We've been talking about that 93-yard touchdown this morning. What do you think makes Bijan so special? How has he gotten to this level?
There's guys that are geniuses, Allie, that in what they do, you know, and whether it's a comedian or an actor or a football player, you know, there are guys that just have a brilliance about them that is hard to describe. It's hard to define. Now, when you see that combined with his physical gifts, you know, obviously he's very faith-based. He always starts every interview with thanking God and for his opportunity and his abilities. And man, they certainly are divine. There's no question about it. His ability to do what he does, there's nobody else that can do what he does. And his start-stop, his vision beyond, it's like he sees things happening before they happen. That's why I call him the Matrix. He does stuff that you know, is computer-like. I mean, like he predicts the patterns with which guys are going to attack him, and he makes them miss, and he sees the next and the next guy and where that's coming from as well. And it's a special deal. I was talking to Rich McKay last night about him, and Rich was talking about some of the guys that he remembered back in his day. There was a guy named Mike Garrett who was an outstanding player, won the Heisman Trophy at USC, that had great speed. And had some of the start-stop ability that Bijan has, but not the ability to catch the ball in the backfield. You talk about Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders, if you want to talk about the running style, that's as close as you're going to find to his running style to be able to make you miss in a phone booth the way he does, just kind of eyes in the back of his head. But Barry wasn't as good a receiver as Bijan is. We're talking about a guy now that's potentially in a realm, if he can, you know, obviously knock on wood and he's blessed to stay healthy enough, this is a guy that's going to be one of the all-time great players in NFL history.
Arch, I wanted to get your thoughts on Jeff Olbrich as well. You and I had multiple conversations yesterday and talking about how kind of felt like the Falcons had to play a perfect game of sorts. You know, you had to really pick your spots and when you wanted to pressure Matt Stafford, when you wanted to back off, when you wanted to rush three. It felt like Olbrich, and you mentioned it a minute ago, there were a couple of blown coverage. Xavier Watts was guilty of peeking in the backfield one time. There was another, you know, incident right there at the end of the game. But for the most part, I thought Jeff Olbrich's game plan was about as bulletproof as you can come by when you're facing an offense like they faced last night.
Yeah, they did a really good job, Mike, of winning one-on-one battles. I thought that Olbrich was able to stay with some four-man pressures. Now, he did come with, you know, as you know, five- and six-man pressures a few times. And frankly, Stafford was able to slide up, climb in a pocket. He beat him a couple times. There was one fourth down play where Atlanta tried to heat him up, and they did a really good job of picking up. Now, they might have gotten away with a little bit of a hold. Williams steps up and picks Divine Diablo up on an A-gap blitz, and they push him past Stafford. Stafford slides in the pocket and is able to complete a fourth down play, a big play that pushed the ball down into deep plus territory. But I just thought that they did a really good job of winning one-on-one battles, especially in the first half. I thought they did some really good stuff against the run game. That was, you and I talked about how we kind of thought they were going to come in and try to do what they've kind of been doing, certainly the last half of the season, and playing that 13 personnel, 12 personnel, and playing bully ball and push you around. And they tried to do that, and Atlanta wasn't having anything of it. And they were winning up front, getting off blocks and getting guys on the ground. Now they started to get some footing in that in the second half. Give them credit. They stuck with their game plan. They didn't panic when they were down 21 to nothing, which is what good teams are going to do. But I just ultimately, I thought Ulbrich really had the back seven really dialed into what they wanted to do from some of their match coverages, because they still played zone. But as you know, they play a zone coverage, but they're the man principles of playing match. And that's ultimately what got Watts beat on the play that Ferguson scores the touchdown on. He's got the over route, even though it's zone coverage, he's going to jump the over route if he tries to go across the field. And he ended up getting beat because they went back to the corner. But they did a really good job of switching things off in the back end. There'd be a guy on one side of the field waiting on some of the routes. So they were really well prepared. I don't know if the extra day helped them prepare. Certainly Raheem Morris and his knowledge of what the Rams like to do on offense, Zach Robinson's knowledge of what they like to do on offense. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a lot of conversations between the two sides of the staff to get ready for this one, because I thought they were really well prepared.
Well, Arch, thank you so much for making the time for us 2 days in a row. I know you had a late night, so we certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, Arch is like a fifth member of the show
Got it. And thanks from Mike. Mike jumped in with us in the pregame, late pregame there. He was our legend that we interviewed. He did a good job of breaking some stuff down for us. We appreciate Mike doing that with us there late in the pregame, and Wes and I's piece of it. But I do need to throw a shout out to Bradley Pinion now. There was a sequence at the end of the first half, guys, where, you know, this Ram team could have climbed right back in the game. And you got the big interception by Watts, that Mike talked about. But Pinion has a 61-yard punt out of the back of his own end zone that was a monster kick. I talked to Brad after the game. And he had not had a full punt for about three games. Remember, he's been punting that plus territory punts, trying to drop them inside the 20-yard line. In fact, broke the Falcon record last night for inside the 20-yard line punts in a season last night. Congratulations to him. But when you needed him to, he hit a rocket that changed the dimension of the field and pushed the Rams back into their own territory. So I got to throw a little shout out to Brad Pinion. He doesn't get a lot of love.
I completely agree, Arch. One of the things we talked about off the top of the show was, it's unfortunate that special teams is going to have a blanket thrown over it because of the blocked kick. You're going to talk about special teams being a negative, but Pinion had one of his best games that I remember him having in a long time last night, right when you needed him to have it.
Absolutely. Just got to mention him. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to tell Bradley Pinion good job today. And hopefully, Arch, we'll be having a similar conversation next Monday when we talk to you.
Yeah, buddy.
Sounds good, Allie. Y'all take care.
You too. Happy New Year. Stay warm. That is Dave Archer, former Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Hey, if you want to go to the Atlanta Boat Show, call in right now. Garrett is standing by, 404-726-0929. You have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Discover Boating Atlanta Boat Show at the Georgia World Congress Center. It's going on January 8th through the 11th. These tickets are provided by the Discover Boating Atlanta Boat Show. You can also grab them at atlantaboatshow.com or win them right now, 404-726-0929. Coming up, we're going to take one last look at this game from last night, and we've got a life of Garrett.
Yeah. How about the People's National Championship? Not the thing you might be expecting. We'll talk about that when we get back.
That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Eight 44 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo will be back on Friday. We'll join him again on Monday. Garrett is in for Dylan behind the glass. He's in New York City seeing the Stranger Things play. Good for him. I'm a little jealous.
I was so taken aback by this. I was like, where are you headed? I'm going to New York to see a Stranger Things play.
I'm a little upset because there is a piece to that play like you need to know to understand all of it. So I'm
what?
Yeah, I mean, they put the story of a character in this play. So you have to understand that to understand the rest of it. But there's enough influencers and TikTokers to explain it to me. I just want to see it myself.
I'm so, like, what? There's so many layers to this thing.
I know. It keeps going. Because it's fun. Because
well, I guess why wouldn't you?
It's the Taylor Swift of TV now because there's so many Easter eggs and all this,
right.
this stuff going
right.
on.
It's an interactive experience.
Yeah.
There was something, Dylan was explaining to me something too where he got the wrong tickets for his New York trip because one of them was already sold out. So he's actually seeing the finale in the theater before his trip to New York. I don't know. It's a lot of craziness, but I hope he has a good time.
I do too. There are so many layers to it. Like there are Stranger Things commercials now on TV and apparently they're linked to the show. Like the actors and actresses are taking on these campaigns. Like there's one in a Tide Pods commercial and it links, I don't want to give anything away, but it links to the show. And I'm like, whoa,
wait, what do you mean it links to the show? That just because they're actors in the show or it's like part of the storyline.
It's kind of, it's foreshadowing.
Have you watched this show, Garrett? Like, are you up to date on this show?
Not fully up to date. I haven't watched the most recent season, but yeah. I watched the other ones.
That way I don't feel out of the loop, man.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, and I normally don't I don't normally get in on this stuff. So the person that's the most proud of me right now is one Grant McCauley.
He's
like, you are so in on this. I love it.
Grant's so, such a unique guy that Grant McCauley. Last night, Arch was mad about a call where somebody's leg was getting twisted. And he was like, you're not allowed to twist them like that. And Grant, just in the background, just as dry as ever, goes, well, usually the show I watch on Monday nights, you're allowed to twist legs and pin guys down for a while. And I started cackling at that. I was like, I don't even know who he's talking to, but I heard him and I thought it was hilarious.
Of course, he's referring to Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. He's like, yeah, I usually watch show on Monday night where you can do that.
Good stuff. If you have never been to a live event for the WWE, by the way, you should go. It is fun.
I've been
with Bo Johnson before.
I went to Money Nitro, which was the WCW version back when I was a kid. I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And the Raven was a big wrestler back then. He used to walk out through the crowd. I like followed him out, ran down the concourse. And there was at one point Sting was in the rafters right over the top of my head with the spotlight on him. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was just, I used to be all into that life. I was Sting like 3 straight years for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah, black trench coat and everything.
I mean, it's such a spectacle to go to those shows. Raw is coming to Atlanta, by the way. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Got to say it again. Falcons beat the Rams on Monday Night Football, 27-24. One thing I've been meaning to ask you about today, Mike, is the fourth quarter Puka Nacua catch, non-catch.
Yeah.
Could you see that he had dropped it? Because I was holding my breath. I don't think I blinked while it went under review.
Such a strange catch for a number of different reasons. And it wasn't necessarily that he dropped it. It was almost like his hand and his body both came off the ball at the same time, but it just hovered in place long enough for his hand and his body to come back together.
Yeah.
I was checking the socials last night as we were doing the postgame show, and it was almost like if you didn't like if you weren't like a Falcons fan, just NFL in general, just fans out there just watching a Monday Night Football game, it's like they wanted it to be a catch because it was so cool. You know, it was like, oh, that's a catch. I'm like, not really, but I can see where you'd be rooting for it to be a catch because it was such an incredible effort.
Was this the same energy as, was it Florida when Georgia was playing Florida, where there was a catch, non-catch, and everyone went back and forth?
Yes. Yes, and there was definitely that. And there was also the touchdown, no touchdown with Auburn and Georgia.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you just believe what you want to believe at this point. You know, nobody really even knows. I think there was a clear loss of control in this effort, however, for Puka. And, you know, that was probably the difference in the game. Right there at the end.
Yes, it was.
It's just crazy to think back if that had actually landed as a catch, you know, and it was upheld on review. You can't challenge that inside of 2 minutes. So that's a booth review. And to me, they made the right call. I can see where if you're a Rams fan, you're like, man, he had that. He caught that ball. I get it. But by the rule, he didn't maintain control.
Yeah.
So
I saw that all over social, too. It was like, this is the greatest NFL non-catch ever.
Yeah. I mean, a lot to be said about it. Yeah. I thought it was incredible. I was watching. I was like, oh, God. You know, and when you hear, I said this a minute ago, when we're back at the studio, you're listening to Wes and Dave live, but the video feed, TV feed's like a minute behind.
Yeah.
So you're listening to them describe it, and Arch is like, did he catch that? No, he didn't catch that. He might have caught that. Oh, my gosh. And then you're like, okay, I can't wait to see what's happening here. And then you finally see it, and you have the same reaction Dave did. You're like, oh, my God, did he catch that? No way. Thank goodness, though, they did not overturn that, because that was a massive point in the game, and that would have made me really sad.
This morning would have been a little bit different. It would have been a little bit different.
Vibes would have been a little bit different, possibly.
Is there anything left about this game you haven't gotten to say yet, Mike?
No, I'm really the former player in me gets really excited about this scenario, and I mentioned this earlier a little bit, and I think it bears talking about again. When you look at why these guys are playing, I think there can be a fan standpoint where, well, they're playing for the coach, or they're, you know, or the opposite. Like, hey, these guys have cashed in for the year. It's you know, Cancun on three. There's so much about this locker room where I think, and Kirk said this a little bit last night, they're playing for one another. You don't know what situation the guy is in next to you. And this is the ultimate team game. There's 11 players on offense, defense, special teams, whatever it may be. Kirk owes it to Drake London to get his numbers or whatever it is to get that extension, or throw the ball to Kyle Pitts because, you know, he's got a contract in front of him and he's going to be a free agent. I think if you're, you know, if you're Ruka Rororo, you owe it to David Onyemata or Caden Ellis or one of these other pending free agents and you know, what the future is for this defense. So I just really think these guys last night did a good job playing for one another and blocking out all the other noise. They're so good in prime time. They're so good in the red helmets. Yep. They're so good against the best teams in the NFL, honestly. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, and you could have beat the New England Patriots, right, possibly, and you know, the Rams.
Close.
The Colts was close. It just, there were so many different things about this win last night that just felt really good. Mm-hmm. And I think it stinks that the playoffs is not happening, but back off of it, enjoy the win, and it was good to get one.
And we are trying to jump in here, trying to do my best Squidbilly impression. I just can't do it very well. I was going to come in here hot with it, and I was like, I don't know.
What do you drive, a Honda? You don't have to say what kind it is or what color.
Just Toyota. Camry.
Toyota, okay. He drove in on the W Sauce Toyota? Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. Does he have the truck situation figured out yet?
Yes.
Yeah, he does, man. He's okay, got a new rig. Yeah, he's pretty stoked about it.
Don't talk about vehicles, because morning shift vehicles
are
cursed
right
now. Everybody got a replacement, and then I got in a wreck. So
all of us had a rental at the same time at one point.
What is going on right now? Yeah. I know. Don't talk about your vehicle, otherwise it'll happen to you.
Within a 2-week window, we all had a loaner. It was crazy.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, hopefully I will change the topic very quickly to something that is a little bit more fun. How about the Pop-Tart Bowl? I was able to go down there for all those festivities.
Yes.
BYU, they get the big one over Georgia Tech. Kind of a bummer there for the Yellow Jackets. But at the same time, is that not the greatest thing in the world?
It really is.
It is so much fun. And when I tell you, it is so much better in person. It is so much better in person. You have these guys running around the field. You have the Pop-Tart who jumped off the end of the toaster.
Slamming strawberry.
Exactly. And I see this guy. I'm down in the tunnel, right? So I'm walking into the press conference. I'm about to set this up. And I'm like, I got to watch jump into the toaster and do all that other stuff.
They're being sacrificed.
Right, exactly. And I just see all of a sudden this guy just disappears. I'm like, where the hell did he go? Because I can't hear really anything down there. It's like something, I don't know what's happening. And then I just see him sprinting all over the field. He's all over the place. And then I'm like, that's strange. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, cool. And I just like walked away. And I looked to my left. And then wouldn't you know, it's the Buff Strawberry Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
About
Slamming Strawberry.
Kind of projectile out there, and he was just, he looks like he was about to pass out. Oh. He was running wind sprints up and down the field. No, but the whole point is, I mean, this game is fun. And this is what bowl games are supposed to be. They're supposed to be an exhibition. They're supposed to be two teams who play really hard and play for their teammates. You know, you talk about these guys like Drake London and Kirk Cousins playing for each other. That's what Georgia Tech and BYU are doing in this game. And, I mean, that is what college football is in the bowl season. And the Pop-Tarts are also just a lot of fun.
Real quick, because we only got like 10 seconds. Chip Kelly takes the OC job at Northwestern. Yes. Does this mean that Chris Winkie is in line to get the job at Georgia Tech?
So Chip Kelly's interview did not go all that great, according to people who I'm familiar with.
Interesting.
He was removed from consideration pretty quickly.
Wow.
It's not going to be. It was never going to be Chip Kelly.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
According to what I heard.
Can't imagine. Somebody didn't like Chip Kelly. I can't imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard that scenario play out before.
I do have a conspiracy theory about the Pop-Tart sacrifice. Ooh. Because they jump in the toaster and they come out as edible Pop-Tarts, right?
Yeah,
for the teams.
Like
also got a bite of those.
Nice.
How was it?
I'll show you some. I'll show you.
Oh, yes.
I have a feeling someone messed up the Slam and Strawberry one, and that's why he was like, nope, I'm going to refuse. And he had to run off because there wasn't one.
No, that old thing's way too well choreographed.
Nope.
Nobody messed it up.
They had a freaking puffy, whatever you call it, the thing that you jump on. I don't know, the tumblers.
A bounce house or something?
Yeah. He jumped onto that on the backside.
No, I understand that, but I think they're like the baker was like, I messed up this Pop-Tart. You can't sacrifice.
You get the muscles.
No,
yeah, you can't
I'm
sacrifice
the
strawberry one.
No, it's like setting up. It's setting up for 2026. That's what it's doing.
It's a storyline like WWE, yes. But Pop-Tart.
Or like Stranger Things.
All right, got it. We're
Broadway
story
show.
Building.
Pop-Tart's the Broadway
world
show.
World building. Well, I want to say congratulations to Todd and McDonough. Won the tickets to the boat show. You can grab yours at AtlantaBoatShow.com. That's going to do it for us for the year, Mike.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So for Mike. For Bo, for Garrett, for Dylan, and for myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
eat your Pop-Tarts in 2026.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.